Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Conspiracy.
Dogman.
Sasquatch.
Homunculus.
Alien races.
Anunnaki.
Corey Feldman.
Ghost Dad.
Yes!
That's cool.
Poltergeist.
Spirit summoning.
Magicians are demons.
Anunnaki.
Close the door,
close the door!
What is the moon?
Cover-ups.
MK Ultra.
Shadow people.
Disagreements.
Wait, I'm trying to say words with my mouth.
Vampire.
Well, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome to be here.
Yes, yes. We are ready to launch off for, believe it or not, Strange Listener Stories 32.
Whoa.
32 and covered in goo.
I just realized I'm wearing Neo's outfit. I forget what his real name was in The Matrix.
What are you wearing?
I said, whoa.
Mr. Anderson, I believe.
Mr. Yes, how did I forget that?
What are you wearing that for? You just felt like it?
He just wants to look cooler than me.
I mean, that's...
I just felt like doing something different.
Mission accomplished.
Definitely not your normal attire, that's for sure.
No, it's not. But I thought it was a special occasion because it's Strange Listener Stories 32, which is...
What's 32? Why is that special?
It's my lucky number.
Oh, is it?
He's lying.
It's not. But...
I just wanted to wear...
I just wanted to, John. I mean, I like what you guys are wearing.
You look like a... Office Max representative.
I do feel like that, actually. I feel like I work at Intech.
I think you were going for like a basement researcher of some, like a molder type.
Well, need like glasses for that then or something.
Yeah, I do. I feel like more like a chauffeur. Like I came in for the break when the podcaster left just to like try out his studio, you know, just driving the guy.
I like it though. But it makes me feel self-conscious because I feel like I'm wearing like a hospital smock now. Or like going to first day of fourth grade.
That's what they're called, smocks?
I don't know. I think a painter wears a smock, so I'm going to go with that for blood people. Anyway, we got a great, great episode of really great stories today, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks to listeners like you out there. So get excited.
We got some creeper deepers.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Creepa deepa ding dong.
What's coming up, Chris?
We got a good variety. But this first story, so, you know, we cover a lot of dark topics on the show. We cover a lot of encounters with hidden, invisible entities, usually something malevolent. But I wanted to start off this edition of Strange Listener Stories with an invisible entity of a different nature.
Oh.
Not a demon in the dark, maybe, but a friend in the wilderness.
Oh.
This story comes from Amanda. And this happened in the middle of nowhere in the Okanagan Mountains. And this is called Give a Girl a Hand.
Hello. I've been meaning to share this with you guys for honestly years, but I procrastinate. It happened when I was 12. Since I was 8, I have lived in the mountains of the Okanagan in pretty much the middle of nowhere. I was the youngest, so I was left to entertain and fend mostly myself. And I spent basically every morning romping around the mountains. I especially loved scaling up the small cliffs that formed at intervals along our mountain. One day, in the summer when I was 12, I was angstily hiking, as tweens do. And I remember I was upset and crying. I don't remember exactly about what now. I also took a different route that day than my usual. but I was scaling up along a small cliff, maybe a story high or thereabouts. And below was a very steep slide of shale for quite a ways. So certainly, if I had fallen, I would have been badly injured. I was hastily climbing when I grabbed a rock and it came loose right off the cliff, and I began to fall backwards. I remember as I was falling backwards, my knees were bending as if I were sitting in a chair, and I fully felt the feeling of a large hand cupping my butt, catching me. By this point, my hands were both let go of the cliff, and it pushed me back up against the rock. There was nothing there, but it was very clearly the shape of a very large humanoid hand. I am absolutely convinced of it. I don't know what it was, but I know it happened. I was much more careful while climbing moving forward, and certain that there are other powers at work. Feel free to email if you have any questions. I am also hoping to take pictures of the spot for you guys. I just need to get out there. Cheers, Amanda.
Nice. I just love that.
Get back out there, Amanda. Take pictures.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got yourself a little guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a definite. But first I was like, oh, please let this be an invisible Sasquatch. But then.
I mean, that's another option. That crossed my mind.
But the hand's too big.
Yeah, it's just as likely.
It'd be a giant.
Well, she's a tween. I mean, tweens have tiny butts. I don't know. That's a weird statement.
No, nope,
maybe. What I'm saying is a Bigfoot. I feel like a Bigfoot hand could cup a bottom. I don't know.
That's not better.
They have big hands, I hear. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I mean, Guardian Angel is also a great.
We can't save you, Chris.
Candidate. I didn't do anything wrong.
Tween's butts are little, right?
Problem is he didn't question it. It was more, it sounded certain.
I mean, I don't know. I was a tween.
He's just an observer.
Yes, an observer of tween's butts.
That doesn't sound any better.
He just watches.
As much of this will be
from
cut.
Afar. This conversation sounds weird.
Yes, some people would go Guardian Angel. Some people might go Invisible Sasquatch. I mean, that is definitely. Or what about a Glimmer Man? One of those escaped military experiments.
But the hand's too big.
Oh, whatever it was. I mean, it seems benevolent. And I don't know how benevolent the Glimmer Man is or
you mean
any of these
benevolent?
Other... I said benevolent.
Oh, they said malevolent.
Benevolent.
Benevolent.
Malevolent.
Yeah.
Benevolent.
It's a Glimmer Man who found his conscience and helping out.
It could be the ghost of a giant.
So I'm thinking it's some watcher of her that is, you know, she had life to live and it wasn't her time. So she needed
a little... push.
Could have ended her, potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Without that intervention. Or at least seriously injured her.
Yeah, and I think Guardian Angel is a good candidate. Also, I wonder if there's any folklore in the area about, like, you know, spirit entities or spirit, nature spirits, that kind of thing.
Watchers of the cliffs.
But I just love that story. It's nice to have a nice kind of helper. Mm-hmm. A usual entity that's a helper out there. We do have a lot of dark accounts.
Maybe it's a Nephilim gone rogue.
We got some dark ones in this one, too.
We do. Yes.
Yeah. Great story, Amanda. Yeah. If you go back, send us pictures. I'd like to see this place.
She did send a link, but I couldn't get the link to work of the location. But she's said she's going back to visit and get personal snapshots of the area. So
what if she just like gets lifted in the air as soon as she steps back on the cliff?
You're back.
And then he's like, bye.
She goes, ah.
Oh.
Oh. Like in the sound effects that I did.
That was great voicing.
Oh, it was a very,
very anime almost.
Very righteous sounding story. Very celestial.
Oh, yeah, because I interpreted the Guardian Angel route.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I like it.
That seems like, the most straightforward, I would think.
It's funny how you could, depending on how you interpret the story, when you're doing the sound design, it could sound totally different. Like, there could have been, like, grunts from an invisible Bigfoot or, like, whatever.
But, I don't think it was, I don't know.
I mean, it's a stretch. It's a stretch.
Also, there's no description of the... Yeah, there was no description that was...
There's like, a lot of accounts of guardian angels kind of interfering in this way. I don't know how many invisible Bigfoots are out there helping humans whenever they can get a chance.
Usually stealing pancakes or something.
Invisible ones?
Invisible pancakes?
Invisible Bigfoots.
No, invisible Bigfoots.
There's plenty of invisible Bigfoot accounts, but not helping.
Well, wouldn't it be better to steal a pancake if you're an Bigfoot?
There's... Invisible Bigfoot encounters?
John, you've been
on
the show, right?
How many stories have we covered of cloaking Bigfoots?
With like belts that make them invisible and they fly silver UFOs in the 70s?
The super high strangeness scans.
I mean, maybe like a couple, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You're right. It's not the average, probably because you can't see them. So you wouldn't have a lot.
They're the ones that are usually tied to the craft, right? The UFO.
Mm-hmm. But there are although a lot of accounts where their footprints seem to end, where they just disappear in the middle of, you know, where they go behind a tree and don't come out.
Shel Silver scene, where the footprints end.
Yes.
Great book, recommended. Buy it in the merch store.
Ding.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yes, thank you for that.
Cheers to you. That was a great story.
And your guardian angel.
Yeah.
Good job. You're doing your job.
Doing your job, Angel. Keep it up.
Are we ready to venture? All right. So tonight we're going to be exploring a couple accounts that take place in that liminal plane where dreamland collides with the waking world. And travelers of all sorts find themselves in that most mysterious of meeting halls, that astral expanse, the twilight of reality. And Cameron's encounter begs the question, what if your dream was someone else's mistake?
Nice.
This comes to us from Cameron.
Hi, Cameron.
This happened April 2025 in North Carolina, and this is called Dream Invader.
Yes.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to pop by and tell you a really creepy short encounter that I had a few months ago that really left me scratching my head, because I even think about it now when I go to bed at night, because it was just the weirdest encounter that I think I've had, to cut to the chase. I was going to bed one night and I leave my hallway light on and it shines into my bedroom because I cannot sleep in complete darkness. It's just too spooky. And I have trouble falling asleep most of the time. So I'm laying in bed, I'm trying to get comfortable, and I finally drift off to sleep, right? Well, I guess this was a dream, I don't know, but I started having a dream of me laying in the bed in my exact position, and I'm looking to the side of my bed that's literally 6 inches away from me, and there's this man standing there, and he's not scary. He is looking at me super confused. He's probably about 6 feet tall, and he's got shaggy blonde hair, and he is wearing these pinstripe cream and dark brown pajamas. And he looks at me and he's like, "You can see me?" And I answered him, like, in my head, I guess, like in the dream, I said, "Yeah, I can see you," because I wasn't afraid. But this is the part that kind of creeps me out when I think about it. He looks very perplexed and he leans forward like he's going to lean over me. And he touches my shoulder. And the moment that he touches my shoulder, I open my eyes. I wake up from the dream and I'm staring at exactly the spot where he was at. Everything in the room is exactly the same. I'm in the same position. The only difference is he wasn't there. So I was essentially woken up by a ghost. And I just wanted to pop in and share that with you guys, because where else better to share it than Belief Hall? So yeah, that's what happened.
Do it here.
Yeah.
Send them in. Send your stories in. I know that feeling, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of you're at a very poignant part of the dream.
Yes.
You know, and then you get woken up somehow, or I don't know if anyone's ever touched my shoulder like that, but there's been many dreams I've had where it's like either the pinnacle, and then you just open your eyes and it's just like.
You're talking about where something is occurring in the dream and it leads up to an event in real life.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and it's usually like for me, the feeling that I'm getting from her is like, it's a meaningful transition.
Yeah. Yeah, like connective.
Not like an alarm clock goes off and you're dreaming like you're at a firehouse or something.
Right.
But right.
I'm saying like there's usually some kind of communication between the two worlds.
Definitely sounds like that.
Yeah.
Were you kind of also highlighting that kind of connective nature of like, well, yeah, it's interesting the way you said that, like there's nothing in her waking world where it would have pulled her out. And like you said, like a alarm clock is a fire, you know, fire alarm in the dream and it wakes you up. There's that connective tissue, but there's no external source in her room there.
Yeah, exactly.
They could explain that.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Well, she's staring at the place where the man was standing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think... Sounds like an out-of-body experience. Well, to me, it sounds like a meeting of... she was going in the ghost direction, but I almost think it could be a... like the title of the story that we titled Dream Invader, where it could be someone who's maybe having their own out-of-body experience. And the clue to me was the fact that he's wearing his own pajamas. Maybe he is asleep somewhere else on the earth and has found himself accidentally like in that. Her room and sharing a dream moment in her place. Because we've heard stories of that before. We did that really good Nightmareland episode and covered a lot of, I think it was Nick Redfern's book. No, it was the guy, Coast to Coast producer.
Oh, yeah.
Wolf something. Len but anyway.
Blitzer?
Wolf Blitzer, yes.
From Coast to Coast. Lex Lonehood-Nover.
Yes, Lex Lonehood-Nover. Thank you. That was it. Yeah. For Nightmareland book, yes.
That reminds me of the bunk bed story. This, like they were at camp or something.
And
the, like, he saw the cousins like get out of bed in the dream. Remember?
Yeah, he saw like shadow versions of his cousins leave their bodies while he's laying there.
But he was awake. I think he was awake in that one.
But still
seeing.
Yeah,
but it led somehow to like, it was a dream. Like they were leaving their, it was like their nighttime.
Right, their nighttime jaunt.
Yeah, dream world.
There was the one where they all, there was a girls like camp or something in the beds they had.
Oh, that's a different one, yeah. Where
yeah,
they were
but
all
that,
like, that one's creepy.
The dream was that like a witch came in or something, right?
Yeah, that was the spitting witch. That was a different one.
I'm thinking of a different one.
Yeah, there's one where they like all sit up or something in bed.
Yeah, but I didn't think that was a dream, but maybe you're right.
That wasn't a dream.
Okay.
That really happened. That was probably one of the creepiest stories we've ever done.
That was a great story.
Yeah.
We need more. Hey, guys out there, send in more camping stories if you have them. Love these.
Real ones only.
Haunted cabin stories.
By the way.
It was basically like there was a girl that was awake and everyone was asleep. And then I think they all like sat up and they were doing something. And it was just like.
Like they were directed by something.
I can't remember what else was tied to it. Yeah, but it was very, very creepy.
Yeah.
And some of them got sick the next day or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and had to go home. Someone had to go home.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Terrifying.
We'll definitely link to that episode.
We are due for a Camp Creepily soon.
Yeah.
It's about that time.
But anyway, back to the idea of the dream invader. I do want to do another deep dream episode because there's just so many interesting things about that part of consciousness that we can go over and explore more.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah. I also think it's where most people can tap into if you want to give credence to like what happens in dreams, which I do. Depending on the dream, but I feel like that's where most people have the opportunity to tap into the supernatural or the paranormal, because it does feel like that kind of place where
meeting ground.
Yeah, the meeting ground of like where your consciousness can go. And actually, did I mention this before? Just really briefly, in Japan, I was reading an old book about like possession and stuff from like the 1800s, I think, or 1600s. And this researcher, I think he might've been a priest, was talking about how the Japanese deal with possession. And it sounded a lot like The Further from Insidious. And he was describing how a spirit of a child can leave their body during the dream state. And that's when you put, I forget what they use, some kind of like crushed bone and ash or something.
Mm-hmm. On the forehead?
On the forehead in the form of a cross. Maybe in the Japanese version was in the form of a cross. But his ritual he was describing was, and as the demon leaves during sleep, it wanders that, you know, dream realm, the astral or whatever. And when it returns, it doesn't recognize the body because of the sign of the cross or whatever was being done in the Japanese culture.
Oh, weird.
So the demon
can't get back in there.
Can't get back in. But they said the danger is that can also happen to the spirit of the child. And the child may not be able to find his way back if the child is back at that point and, you know, can't come home. But he was connecting it to actually changelings in fairy and fae lore and comparing that to the Japanese. It was just an interesting kind of side, but I do think there is that connection there in the further when you're sleeping.
So that was a Christian perspective in the Japanese culture.
Well, he was comparing Japanese to the pagan Celtic fairy lore. So, and then I don't know if he was talking about his ritual of how he or they would, maybe it was Japanese Christians might have been doing. Yeah, maybe that was it. They were doing the cross on the kids. But yeah, it was cool. You know, it was just like a priest who was also like a researcher. It was cool to see comparing way back then, like different cultures, how they deal with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, you know, go to the doctor.
We got an email from an exorcist's assistant.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that. Yeah.
I think that would be interesting, but also very dark.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I've always kind of put it off. So we were at our 20th year high school reunion.
Northwest.
And one of our
excellence.
One of our friends from back in the day.
he's a Catholic priest, and he came up to us and was like, hey, you guys should really have an exorcist on. I know a guy that would come on, really interesting guy. And then like 5 minutes later, our good friend Brian Stacy from high school came over. He is now a monk. And he came over and goes, hey, you guys really need to have an exorcist on. I know a guy. Oh, I don't know if they were the same guy.
We should do it then. I feel like gotten a lot of signs to do it. It would definitely be.
It will be heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy, but I mean, what else? Everything we do is kind of heavy.
Yeah. It'd be interesting too. We have a lot of stories that are really dark and heavy. I know, Chris, especially you, I feel like are concerned sometimes or hesitant to do those. And I understand why, just because of the energy.
Because I'm a coward, they were saying.
No. But if we approach things, you know, in a balanced way with, you know, adding lightness in, it would be interesting to maybe, if we have someone on, discuss some of the accounts our listeners have sent in where they, you know, have had what they think is some sort of experience of possession or attachment.
It may help some people. Who knows?
That's true.
Let us know if you are interested in that, because it would be dark and heavy, but it's also like kind of a big part of paranormal as far as, you know, corroborating, you know, the people that they're like. Those people that do that are kind of like warriors of that kind of stuff.
Spiritual warfare. I mean, that's what's all, I mean, even if you go to just Ed and Lorraine Warren, even though they're controversial, like that's what their stuff was all based on, you know, Ed being a priest and driving out.
I don't think he was a priest. He was a demonologist, self-taught, I think.
They had priests come though, right?
They did.
Anytime. Yeah, they worked with the church and stuff.
Yeah.
Demons are real, man.
Yeah, so it's weird to like, it's kind of weird to shy away from that. I get like, not everyone wants to hear or talk about that. And there's different explanations.
We're not doing like a series on it. It'd be like one episode.
I think it would be good to do.
Yeah. Well, and I was talking to Jerry about this the other day. Like, you know, no matter what culture you're in, whatever you call these things, however you look at these things, there is a dark part of life and there are entities. We talk about them all the time. Nightmare feeders, you know.
We make light of it, but
yeah,
there is a real side and real cost to people's lives. That deal with this stuff that can't sometimes get rid of it.
People really suffer.
Or at least it's very difficult to.
These attachments.
We had Alana's story that was so heavy and dark and obviously definitely caused a lot of trauma for her. So we get those stories.
What a claustrophobic, helpless feeling that must be to be trapped in a situation like that. Our heart goes out to you if anyone's dealing with anything like that.
I know there are listeners that are, because we've gotten their emails. I try to respond when we do.
I'm sure.
Just remember the light is out there. And you're not alone.
If we ever don't respond to you too, it's not because we're ignoring you. It's just, we just get so many messages and it's hard to always respond to everybody. So don't take it personally.
Definitely.
We're not ignoring you.
And also check your junk mail, because oftentimes ours end up there for some reason. So we might have responded.
That's true too.
Anyway.
All right, let's move along.
Yes, let's get back down the road. I want to keep sleepwalking down that liminal road through the nightmare country. And what Jeremy was saying about the Japanese tradition there of potential invasion of the body kind of relates to this story, but in a very unique way. And unlike our last account, Anna's story will connect us to a potential past life and an unwanted interloper of a darker nature. This is called Cat versus Past Life Vision Invader.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to you for about a year now. I am a ceramic artist, and I work just about every day in my clay studio, and sometimes I listen to your podcast for 8 hours. So thank you so much for entertaining me while I make my art. I'm Anna, by the way. I consider myself a sensitive. I've had weird things happen to me my whole life. Just unexplainable things. I definitely grew up in a haunted house and I see shadow people all the time. But it's very passive, so it's nothing that's like constant or in my face. But every couple weeks or months, I'll, you know, something strange will happen to me. But this story in particular, I would like to tell you because it's never happened to me before. I'm interested in the idea of past life regression, and I truly believe that things that have happened in our past lives affect us in our lives that are happening now. So I was just curious if maybe I could, you know, have some questions answered about my life now. So I do live with my partner and two cats, but this night I was by myself and I decided to put in some earbuds and find a podcast on YouTube. And as I'm drifting away, both my cats are on top of me and I fall asleep, or I think I fall asleep. And all of a sudden, I see myself on a hilltop. Just rolling green hills and like foggy air, and I'm surrounded by sheep. But there's nobody else around me. It's just me and these sheep. But of course, I don't see my face. I just know it's me. And I feel at peace. I feel really comfortable. And I just felt like I was experiencing a past life that I've had. All of a sudden, I see black. And all I hear is just a heavy vibration. And this immense sensation that something is trying to take over my soul or try to take, you know, it's just, I don't know how to explain it besides take my soul. I've had sleep paralysis a lot in my life, but it doesn't happen very often. But this was something different. I felt that I was in danger. And I suddenly snapped out of it into my room where I was sleeping. And one of my cats was on top of me. Her fur was on all ends and she was growling. This cat, Mook, she is the sweetest little bean. And she is I've never seen her like that in my life. She is on top of me. She was growling. She was staring at my door. And I feel that I am not alone. And I'm freaking out, obviously. I just like had this crazy experience. And now my cat is acknowledging that something else is in my apartment. So I'm trying to like, you know, pet my cat. I'm like, Mook, like, are you okay? Like trying to pet her and calm her down. But she doesn't even look at me. She jumps up, goes to my bedroom door and walks out and continues to growl. And I don't know where she goes. So I don't know. That's just like a crazy experience. I feel like my cats are my protectors. I'm so grateful for them. I love them so much. And I don't know what that was. I would love to try past life regression again at some point, but I need to find a way to protect myself first because that was crazy. Yeah. Anyways, I have so many more stories. So if you like what you hear, I can absolutely give you more. I've got a whole lifetime of odd and bizarre things that have happened to me. So thank you so much. I will continue to listen to you guys, and I'm so grateful for everything that you do. Thanks so much. Bye.
That would be terrifying just in the night.
They scare away the dream invader.
Well, yeah, they have to sound scary, but they would scare me. Cats.
I mean,
that would be terrifying.
We've talked about this kind of thing. It's like if you are leaving your body to some degree,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's astral fishing of these yeah. entities that are potentially talking, you know, that's almost like demonic possession where it seems like they wait to jump in there.
Exactly. Ties just into what we're talking about. Well, exactly. And also there were so many stories that I came across that were sort of going down this direction. Like we could have just done this whole like sleep invasion, entity invasion kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That vibration to me, that's key. Because that's always, to me, a reminder mm-hmm. of an out-of-body
oh, yeah,
experience.
Sure.
So you're becoming vacant, potentially, a container, opening up for something potentially to get in there. And this other story I didn't include, which we'll do down the road. So if you're out there and you hear this and you're listening, I forget her name. But her story ended up with when she's having this
anonymous.
Experience.
But if you hear it, we'll do it at some point, even though you don't know who you are.
Well, she'll recognize the story because it's pretty specific.
Oh, okay.
But it relates to this because basically she, at one point in the story, she wakes up from a dream, I believe that's what happens, and she sees these three multicolored orbs come into her window, and they come up to her, and she's frozen in a sleep paralysis state, and as she's talking, or as she's sitting there, she hears them say in her mind,
"Can we come inside you?"
So just exactly gross. Like this sort of situation, except it was at least, it had a pretense of being a friendly orbs, but she did not get the sense that they were there for a good purpose. Anything that wants to come inside you, usually, even if it's like a walk-in soul, it's still going to be sharing
yeah.
your real estate. Nobody wants that.
We didn't do that story yet, did we?
No.
That could definitely be a themed episode.
I almost brought it into this one, but we had so many great ones in here already, I thought we could save it.
Yeah. And also, this I want to know, guys, maybe we'll put out a poll, but do you guys, I know a lot of people like the variety grab bags and they're fun, you know, they kind of like wake things up a little bit. I know they're your favorite, Chris, but sometimes I like using listener stories along with a couple other stories from different places for corroboration to do like a themed episode, like, you know, like
night
nursing
shift or something.
Yeah. Or things like that. So, or like sinister sleepovers where things invade the bedroom. So different varieties of stories like that. Do you guys have a preference? I'm just curious. I want to
test the waters. Take the temperature, as they say. Should do a poll.
YouTube algorithm us.
Leave comments.
Type it in. Type it in.
You can vote three times, but you have to vote in different comments.
Hit that like button too while you're down there. Yeah. It helps the show stay alive.
Oh, yeah. We never say that. If you're watching right now on YouTube, hit the like button.
We don't ask you very often, but if you're there and you're in YouTube, do a little ding for the whole.
And especially in the premiere, we'll watch it grow together and we'll have a party. We'll have a pizza party.
Yay!
All you people that are listening pizza live, party. Just do it once for us. Help us shoot to the next level.
That's right. Anyway, more stories. Here we go.
Yeah, what's next, Chris? These have been great so far.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to leave Nightmare Land behind here. And we're going to be drifting over to a little old Alaskan town for closing time, where our barkeep for the night is working to close up shop.
This is a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great story. Some buildings are never empty, as we know, here in the hole. And even after the tills are counted and the doors are locked, in some places, last call lasts forever. Nice. This comes to us from Alaskan Tracer, and it occurred in an old mountain town in Alaska. This is called Last Call.
Hello. I just thought I would share this story. I am from Alaska, and I lived in a little town called Seward. It's right at the bottom, south central, in the middle of the web. Anyway, so it's such an old town. It has old, old soul. It was founded in 1905, and it was supposed to be what Anchorage turned into because the bay doesn't freeze. I have felt since I was a child, I have experienced so many paranormal things, and I grew up in a very, very religious background, so I couldn't talk to anybody about this stuff. I feel like I can tell you. Anyway, I'm a bartender for 35 years. I lived there for a very short period of time, and I start working at the American Legion there. And I was looking out this big, beautiful picture window at the bay, and that's where our till sat. And at the end of the night, I was counting out my money, and I thought about it, and I figured, okay, I'll go take care of the tables and all that first. So I go and I push in all the chairs, and I empty all the ashtrays, and I clear the pool table, and then I head back up to do my till. Well, I'm looking out this picture window, just counting my money, counting, 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 and I hear something behind me. And I look back, and at a table by the pool table, the chairs were pushed out about 5 feet on both sides. And I knew that I had just pushed those in. And so I kind of scratched my head and went, wow, okay. And the hair rose on, well, everywhere. And I start counting my money again, and all of a sudden I hear a clunk, and the pool balls roll down from the pool table like you were going to start a game. Well, I decide I don't want any part of this, so I put my money from the till in a coffee container underneath the sink, because I wasn't going to walk back past that table to go to the office. I'm a feeler, and I just did not have a good feeling at all. So I go to leave. I'm going to lock up. I walk down the stairs to the exit, and as I'm walking down the stairs, the piano starts playing on its own. I jammed out the door and padlock on the outside, and stood there and listened to it for about 5 minutes as the piano played. And, well, there was nobody else in that building but me. Well, and apparently a few others that were not visible. So, on that note, I just figured I'd share that story. I have so many more. I hope you enjoy.
It was a fun one. Although she did say that it was like she didn't feel good about it. It wasn't a friendly.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't seem super aggressive or anything, and it even played a little song for her at the end.
That's kind of nice. I want to know what the music sounded like.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Couldn't have been that scared. She didn't run away at the end.
Yeah, that's true. She sat there for 5 minutes listening. I want to know. I would just be curious because it'd be funny if it was something like not spooky at all. It was like I don't know, like Sir Mix-a-Lot, Great Balls of Big Butts.
Sir Mix-a-Lot playing piano.
Piano style. I like Big Butts, but piano style.
You're all about the butts today, Chris.
Yeah, I know, Chris.
What's with you, man?
Leave me alone. I'm a lonely man.
This is
a
family show.
It's just a silly song I thought of. It's just a silly song.
Yeah, but how do you play piano on that? Doesn't even make sense. Your mind is in the gutter.
Oh, you can do any song on piano.
You gotta bring butts into everything.
Haven't you heard Lounge Against the Machine? You can do piano with any song.
True.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
There you go. See, it's already.
I brought up something on screen. We're done butting, butt talking. This is the American Legion. I found that she's talking about in Seward, Alaska. Obviously, this is an older picture. So it looks like, yeah, it's had some years. It's got some history.
Oh, that's right. She gave us the name of the town. I, for some reason, Seward. I didn't think. So is this the American Legion there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Over the years.
Well, it's a small little building.
That's awesome. Oh, so that's it. I was going to look. I tried to ask her, reach out and find out what bar it was, but this must have been it.
That's kind of a cool setting to have after she leaves and there's like mountains behind her.
Beautiful. Absolutely. She told me the picture window.
It looks pretty isolated too. It's not like in a plaza with other buildings.
Right.
Extra spooky.
Yeah.
Probably some wayward fisherman looking for just one more drink.
I think this, we talked about Seward. It came up, I think, in our Portlock episode.
The Kenai, it does sound Peninsula. Familiar. Yeah. Oh, it's in the Kenai Peninsula? Yeah, okay.
I think so. Here are the Kenai Fords. Look at that.
Beautiful.
Anyway, thanks for that story. And yeah, it sounds like a beautiful place to work. Save a stool for us.
Yeah.
We'll ever get to Alaska. That'd be awesome.
We have to go in there after closing time. Yeah. I wonder how long ago it happened. I didn't catch the time, but that'd be cool if it was still a bit active. We could go out there.
Ghosts don't have a timeline.
That's true. I don't know, though.
Although they do have an expiration date.
You ever see Neanderthal ghosts?
We talk about this.
I know.
They don't have souls.
Oh, come on.
They are souls.
Throw a Neanderthal a bone.
They're just monkeys.
They're not monkeys.
They're talking about us, people, humans.
Huh? Neanderthals.
Just monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're distant relations.
They didn't have souls, though.
They were human. They were creative and caring.
I'm joking. I don't know. Yeah, maybe there's a tie. There is a
They
time.
Liked butts.
Well, actually, how, but.
I got to lean into it. No, we're cutting. I'm going to have to figure out how to edit this.
People are really going to wonder, Chris.
No, you're keeping that.
Makes me sound like a creep.
It was so innocent. And yeah, we were just giving you a hard time.
I'd be hypersensitive about joking about anything. Obviously, you're not a predator.
There'll be some podcast cringe episode.
As far as we know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with Chris every day and I will vouch for him.
It has been a while since you've dated, but.
That's not for that reason.
It's more of an overworking problem.
It's not for that reason.
It's more of the belief hole has consumed my life. That's why.
If you date somebody, you can get a butt of your own. A butt to have.
Anyway, let's get back to spooky stories. What is going on here? All right. Anyway, let's get back into the bedroom in a different way with gargoyles.
Gargoyles?
Okay, this next story is extra creepy for multiple reasons, and you'll understand when you hear the story. This is one of those experiences where you find yourself in a room with something you've never seen before, something very sinister, something with horns.
Never good.
This comes from Cheyenne. This happened when she was 13, and this is called Gargoyle in the Bedroom.
Hey guys, I am a relatively new listener, but loving every minute of it, but long time paranormal experiencer, I suppose. My story is brought by being reminded of it, although it's something I think about all the time because it was so scary. But it was a story of a mom and her daughter in bed, and there was the troll at the foot of the bed, and she said, "Don't be scared, it wants your fear," or something along those lines. And when I was a child, up until about 13, my mom, my sister, and I lived in low-income apartments for women. And like you guys have talked about, women can sometimes be, I think, a bit more in tune. But there were like many factors kind of, I think, inviting energy and inviting stress into this environment. It was women trying to get back on their feet, or maybe women that had been struggling. But I think it invited a lot of really strange things, not all negative, but for most of my childhood, feeling very negative. I slept in my mom's bed for as long as I could because I never got a restful night's sleep due to the amount of activity kind of going on around us and the perpetual state of nighttime fear that I lived in. So I kind of always slept with my mom if I could. Every once in a while, you know, she had to lay down the law, but I really always wanted to be with her for that safety. And per usual, one night, I was sleeping in her big comfy bed. And I stirred in the middle of the night, and I woke up. And across from her bed, mounted on the wall, she had this like cast iron, kind of curly candelabra. Cast iron, and you could put little candles in it. And it mounted up on the wall across from her bed. And on that candelabra perched was a dark figure that had been so intently watching us. I could feel it. I could tell there was interest. There was something incredibly sinister. And I could kind of just make out, like, you know, like the knees being up of perched, but it was all and like kind of like a cloaked energy. It was very opaque. There was nothing misty about it. And like these like horn shapes at the top. But it was all black and I couldn't make out any distinct features. And I remember looking at it and feeling so in danger, so frightened, so sad. I felt helpless. And I remember kind of starting to turn to my mom to kind of wake her up. And I turned and there she was, already looking at me, kind of with her head still straight, but tilted to the side, trying to, I think, you know, like make very mild movements, unspoken, but kind of affirming that I was seeing what I was seeing because of the fear in my own mom's eyes. And she didn't say anything. We didn't do anything. We just stayed very still together. And I remember feeling her hand on me as if it was the only comfort she could provide in that moment. And us just taking in what was in front of us and how horrifying this shape was, how invaded I felt, and also her, I would imagine, of this dark, perched figure in our room together. And I don't really remember going back to sleep. I hadn't had something like that kind of happen in the past or to this day. But for the rest of my mom's life, we were talking about paranormal things. She would say that, you know, the next morning I asked her, "Mommy, why was Maleficent in your room?" And being so concerned, it was not Maleficent, but maybe that paints a better picture of like the visual that we saw together of this big cloaked, horned, you know, sinister, malicious fear eater. It wanted, you know, it was there for us. And I still think about it every day, pretty much. But that's my strange fear eater or something story. And, you know, keep rocking on.
Oh,
very creepy.
Yeah.
Thank you for that story.
Ugh. So the last thing you'd want to see in your bedroom. I mean, shadow person is one thing. A horned gargoyle. Typical
devil gargoyle, yeah.
Yeah, just exuding sadness and hate and ugh.
Yeah, it sounds like it was drawn to that place, you know, where there can be struggle and maybe confusion and that lower vibrational space.
Vulnerability, yeah.
Vulnerability. Yeah, it's vulnerability is a good way to put it.
Exactly.
It'd be one thing if she just had that experience, but the fact that her mom was up at the same time, both experiencing the same thing is definitely lends an extra level of creep and realism to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the corroboration is always helps the account.
Yeah.
Having someone else there, obviously. Yeah.
Also probably helps in the situation. Imagine experiencing that alone.
Yeah. And then no one believing you, which happens, I feel like, probably 90% of the time. This happens, someone's on their own.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. It gives, I think, credibility and probably some relief to people who are by themselves when they have these experiences and are not believed, to have an experience of your own where you have another witness with you, I'm sure is helpful.
Yeah.
Could it be that that thing was, what's the word when it's an object is possessed?
Oh, there is a term for that.
Didn't we do an episode on it?
Yeah. We did an episode on, what is it called, where there's a certain psychic ability when you touch a certain object.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, psycho, what's that called? No, I can't forget. I have a whole book on it. Church-mometry, something-ometry.
It's like psychometry?
Psychometry.
Yeah, that's touching, yeah.
Thanks, John. But reading something that may have an energy attached to it or a memory attached to it. But there are possessed objects.
But yeah, it's like the Ed and Lorraine Warren have a whole bunch of those.
Museum.
But isn't that how the story started with like?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the candelabra is definitely a gothic sort of, at least visually.
Makes you think of gargoyles.
Right. So maybe there was some sort of attachment to that. Who knows where that candelabra came from? That's an interesting angle to consider.
Yeah, spirit attached object.
Nice, John.
And it is interesting that, it has that same kind of gothic vibe.
Yeah.
Like whatever the spirit or demon is chose that.
Glad I haven't seen anything like that. I don't know how well I would sleep after that.
No.
Yeah.
Ever.
But speaking of things you've seen in bedrooms, that it's just interesting, not at all connection really, but just anecdotal, but that when I saw that shadow thing in my bedroom in high school that used to be your bedroom, John, that came in the doorway. And when I woke up, I don't know if I woke up or I hadn't gone to sleep yet, but we've talked about that. I won't go into it again.
You threw natty light cans at it to get it to go away or something?
Yes. Anyway.
It was like disrespectful. Stop throwing natty lights.
Rude.
At least make it Budweiser.
Anyway, it was there was a candelabra on the wall, but I didn't know it was plastic, and it almost burned the house down because I had left a candle burning on it. It was like a black gothic candelabra that I had sticking off the wall. It's not really related.
Anyways, you almost lit the house on fire.
Yes,
but I'm glad you didn't.
Yes, didn't.
Starve those ghouls.
Yeah,
starve those ghouls with this mug. This mug allows you to starve
ghouls.
You know
that we got from specifically from the girl that I won't name.
Oh yeah, someone thought that our Starve Your Ghouls slogan was starve your schools.
Yeah, right?
Starve
Your Schools.
Starve Your Schools. Yeah.
That is not our slogan.
And was hoping that we didn't actually mean that. So
yes, that is not.
We had to tell her that was
concerned about levies or funding. But yeah, no, that is not what we were talking about. We're talking about ghouls.
Yes.
Starve them.
Her name is Sarah. Sarah, yes. We would never say that about schools. Only ghouls.
Yes. Ghouls and Fools.
Nice cup, Jeremy.
I'm telling you, man, it feels like a party.
Where'd you get that from?
Oh, I thought you were talking about one of our merch cups, but no, it's a pizza party cup.
I got these at a party store, costume store that was going out of business. And I was like, that just looks like I'm going to have fun.
This is where Jeremy shops exclusively. Party store is going out of business.
That is something I would never buy. I would never put money towards
20
that.
20 cents. And it brings me a little joy. Is that okay?
I like it.
One day maybe we could have a pizza party here, huh?
I like it.
We can all... We don't eat pizza anymore, but
that's funny.
So I drink it from a cup.
All right, let's take a break.
It's pizza juice.
All right. When we get back, we're going to have some actually really interesting corroboration for this gargoyle story. So you're going to want to hear that. So stick around.
Yeah. It reminded me of a really creepy story from Barcelona. So
yes,
hang tight.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right, guys.
We'll be back.
See you in a minute.
And now enjoy a sneak peek of this week's members only episode, Celebrity Strangies 3. The third installment of our anthology series, where we get to hear weird stories from people you may be familiar with. Check it out.
I don't normally do interviews, as you already know,
There have been 5 or 6 people who've tried to speak to me, and I refused. But this was important to me. When my publicist said some journalist was willing to talk about this, it compelled me to come out with it. It has been 50 years of me dealing with these UFOs and aliens. It started when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I remember being told I couldn't go outside, so I was looking out at the streets of Bronx, New York, watching the kids play stickball in a kneeling position. When I turned around, a figure was behind me. It was at least 5 or 6 feet tall, with an elongated head. It appeared, then jumped to the back of me and disappeared. From that moment on, it was one experience after another, which culminated into my sighting in the Philippines and during the filming of Alien. At one point, I remember being at my home at 6 p.m., and I went into my office to meditate in the garage, and I saw something. Looked at it for about 5 minutes, and it was light. I was wondering why the neighbors were shining a light through the top of my garage window, so I went to talk to them. Now keep in mind, I had been sitting in that car garage for some 12 hours, and I believed that I contributed to those things that were flying above my garage. I shouldn't call them things, these aircrafts. As I got older, I understood what they were, but I went through my youth not knowing what I was experiencing, and I didn't talk about it. I would just experience something and file it away until something larger happened.
If you enjoyed that clip, head on over to BelieveHole.com and sign up to be an expansion member and get access to hundreds of exclusive BelieveHole episodes, just like this one. Now back to the show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back, everybody. Hi.
Welcome to be here.
All right, Jeremy, you had found some interesting stuff related to that last account, the gargoyle in the bedroom.
I sure did. That reminded me of a story that I was trying to find, and it turns out, of course, it's from Richard Freeman's book,
Yes.
The Highest Strangeness, that I just read recently. It reminded me so much of this. Speaking of bedroom invaders of the devilish kind, this story it's just a little account. And essentially in 1970, there was a woman named Margaret Fry who was visiting Barcelona. And I think she had a pen pal. I think that's maybe how she got out there in the first place. I'm not sure. But when she was there, she was joined by her friend, Francisco Dulander, who was a Spanish guy. And he wanted to improve his English. So they were involved in some kind of way. But apparently his intentions were a little less than completely kosher, honest. I don't know how you say that, but he was looking for something more, or that's what she thought, because he booked them a room after a conference they were at in a hotel for the night. And she wasn't very comfortable with that, but he explained, you know, I live with my grandma, and if I go home now, it's 3 a.m, I'm gonna wake her up and I'd feel bad, so can I please stay? So she finally relents, and they spend a devilish night together in a hotel room. And this is what happens.
Yes, something else wakes up.
Yeah. And this will sound a lot like the last story.
During the night, Margaret woke up to see moonlight streaming into the room through the patio windows and illuminating a weird sight. Quote, and there in the corner, by a wash basin, sat 3 little devils with horns. They formed a close circle, and each had their heads bent, one arm linked, and the other hand, over their 3 quarters, closed, large eyes. Her screams awoke Dulander, who saw the devils as well. Then their beds began to rock violently. So much so that Fry thought she would be tossed through the plate glass windows. She managed to leap onto Dulander's bed. He managed to switch the lights on, and the beds stopped their wild zigzagging, and the devils vanished. The pair left the room and spent the night on chairs in the reception. The next day, they checked into another hotel, and Fry spent the rest of her holiday being shown around Barcelona by Dulander. And nothing further happened of an occult nature. Some years later, Margaret contacted Francisco again to find out if that night in 1970 was a fact or a dream. His response was, quote, "Don't mention that again, please, please. It was the most horrible, horrible experience of my life."
Terrifying.
There you have it.
Definitely sounds similar to that last account. And again, having two people to corroborate.
Yeah. In Barcelona, there's a lot of gargoyles. I'm just saying. Definitely connects to that last story.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Great book, by the way. High Strangeness. The Highest Strangeness. We'll have it linked.
It was weird, too, in that story, how they're, well, they like had their arms linked, these three little devils in a circle.
Very unusual.
Did they sneak in there in the night when they were asleep? Or did they, were they manifested somehow?
Pretty sure they probably manifested.
They broke in.
They have a hotel key.
The, little lockpick.
Yeah. I think they have to worry about that kind of stuff.
You never know.
Yeah. Pretty terrifying, though.
You think they're physical?
I'm not saying they need a hotel key, but I think there is a physicality to some of these encounters. Like, they might have actually been sitting on the floor, you know. Their butts made little prints on the carpet.
You think they went up, like, the stairs and the elevator and, like, from the outside
no,
world?
No, but once
and...
they're in there, they might be physical.
Well, yeah. John, you know? But yeah, yeah, and... but getting in, they can probably just appear. They're probably just manifest.
But getting out, they probably need to unlock
the take
door.
The stairs.
Yeah.
Brick a window. Clumsy escape.
Hey, you hear that sometimes with those imposter entities. Just going to say, Fozzie the Bear.
Got to make light of these accounts because, I mean, that would be a horrifying experience to wake up with a group of devils standing around your bed and the person you're with can see them too. How do you live with that? Especially the immediate aftermath.
Well, apparently you just go on a sightseeing trip the next day in Barcelona. That's what they did.
Got to get out of your head.
I guess there'd be a point where, and maybe they had drinks that night too. So you'd be like, was that, did I imagine it? But the fact that they both saw it and he was like, don't ever talk to me about that again.
Yeah.
That's what gives you the chills, or the chicken skin, as some call it, the goose pimples.
Oh, by the way, I was going to mention that story we just went over came from Margaret Fry. That was the witness.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say shout out to our new member.
Yay!
Her last name is Fry. I just saw that come into the inbox yesterday, so I thought it was interesting timing. A little synchronicity snack.
Cheers to you, Margaret. Thank you to be here.
I don't know if that's her first name, but her last name is Fry.
Okay. Maybe they're related. But yeah, this story,
sure.
This actually came from, I think I mentioned that, Richard Freeman.
Yes.
But I wanted to know the original source. And Richard does a good job of listing all the sources in the back of the book, but sometimes it's hard to tell which story goes with what source. And so I did some searching on the interwebs, and I found the only source I could find from it was actually a really interesting blog.
Oh, yeah?
From a old school ufologist, researcher. A Swedish guy. His name is, I'm going to butcher this terribly, Håkan Blomqvist. It's an awesome name.
It sounds like you have the last name right. I'm not sure about the first.
Anyway, his blog had listed it. He's like I said, an old school UFO researcher from Sweden, and was around at the time working when a lot of these stories were coming out in the 60s and 70s.
That big 70s flap.
Yeah, exactly. Especially 73, which actually comes up here.
Of course it does.
And he, on his blog, lists where this story came from, which was the publication you may have heard of called OVNI, or O-V-N-I.
Oh, yeah.
Journal of Phenomenon Research Association. A 2003...
How does A-O-V-N-I... How is that an acronym for Journal of Phenomenon Research Association? You got the right...
I think that maybe the Journal of Phenomenon Research Association is the association that puts out OVNI. But I know that... I know that OVNI is like a... It's an abbreviation for...
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Like unidentified something in another language, which is why the letters may not...
Okay.
We should Google that and put it in. Man, I'll check right now. What does OVNI stand for?
It means UFO.
Unidentified flying object.
That's interesting.
Object, so... Objet volant non identifié.
Okay, so it's basically acronym UFO, which is obviously unidentified flying
object.
French term for unidentified flying object. Anyway,
okay.
Now that we got around that hurdle, so a 2013 issue of OVNI is where this report comes from. And Hakan, or Mr. Blomovis, goes on to say in this blog post that it reminds him of an account, a humanoids account that he investigated in the 1960s with some strange similarities with the Barcelona account. It will remind you guys of, I think, an even more similar account that we covered in the past.
Hmm.
So much so that it may even be the same entities responsible, even though it's cross-continental, these two different stories. Anyways.
Which story are you trying to hang on to it for anticipation?
Well, let's see if you can guess.
Okay. Let's gamify it, as the kiddos say.
Keep your ears perked for attributes that may sound eerily familiar. All right, so in 1960, Hakan interviews Sture and Turid. I don't know if I'm pronouncing those names right. Sture and Turid were just an ordinary working-class couple. However, leading up to this, Turid had received multiple inexplicable messages. Messages that said, quote, "Go to Vagaro."
Mysterious.
Yeah. And more mysteriously, the first time he received the message, he was on the phone and a voice broke into the call while he was talking with a lady and said, "Go to Vagaro."
That is strange.
But then he heard it again. And the second time, probably more affecting to him, was he heard it as a, quote, inner voice or psychic voice. And that kind of kicked his butt into gear. And he and his girl got in the car and they went. They went to Vagaro. So, without further ado, here's the account. Let me know what account that we've covered this might remind you of, if it rings any bells. So this conversation starts with Sture speaking. Chris, you want to do Sture?
Sure. I've been dying to do Sture.
It's a great role.
When we arrived at the place we were told to visit, those entities were already there. But we did not observe them until we had parked the car. It was not totally dark, but twilight. We noticed them first over the field. And then they came very close to the car. We believe there were 5 or 6, between 1 1/4 and 1.5 meters, with large heads and shining eyes. The eyes were red, phosphorus. The entities didn't walk, but floated around in straight lines. I wished for all my life that another car would come, but no one showed up. After some time, the entities disappeared over the field. And then it was like a saucer tried to land on the car. Our whole car shook, and the radio screamed in the back seat. We took cover below the dashboard.
And then Hakan goes on to ask the couple, for how long did the observation last? And then Sture says,
maybe 5 minutes. But for me, it felt like eternity.
Did you see any ears or fingers?
Imagine yourself sitting in twilight, gazing through the car window. Would you notice the type of ears or fingers the entities had when you were absolutely terrified? You just don't do that. Then you have to be enormously cold-livered. And I couldn't act like that. But I am sure they had arms.
After this frightening experience, Sture and Turid just sit in the car, waiting for a while before going home. But they arrive home in the early morning. Several hours are missing. They never wanted to know what eventually had happened during that missing time.
That's weird.
Kelly Cahill, right?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. How many
similarities?
Like the gliding, the sort of black figure entities.
Uh-huh.
The fact that then it's connected to a UFO and the attacking of the car.
Yeah.
Those are all similar to Kelly Cahill's experience.
Glowing red eyes.
And that was in Australia, right? The Kelly Cahill encounter?
Yeah, so you have...
By the way, if you have not heard that account, terrifying account, it's in our Australian Terror Down Under episode or whatever it was titled. We'll have it linked right here in the show notes.
Yeah.
Incredible that's so similar.
Yeah. The decades are a little different. I think Kelly Cahill's was in the early 90s, and this is, of course, the 60s.
Again, just another experience that seems to twist up the old dark paranormal with the ufological.
Yes, yeah, almost supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
Almost demonic.
Yeah, there's a lot of evil. I remember evil vibes in
Kelly Cahill's
soul stealing. That was kind of the impression she thought, that she's getting. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, the psychic connection too. So, and just to compare side by side with these two accounts quickly, just a few obvious connections. Yeah. Like you said, Chris, the gliding or floating, mm-hmm. approaching the car, roadside, totally the same vibe. The craft in this account, you had a craft involved that almost felt like it was on top of the car at one point, which sounds like another Australian account we covered. But then the other Australian account we're referring to, the Cahill account, there was a giant craft looming that was obviously connected to these dark floating beings in the field coming at the car. So
yeah.
Super similar.
Also the red eyes.
Yeah, the red phosphorus glowing eyes with this sense of evil or dread, fear.
Yeah.
The paralytic effect, yeah. They've got no souls. That was from the Kelly Cahill.
The psychic communication.
Yeah, just a dark, almost robotic, but supernatural.
Missing time.
And then, of course, yeah, the missing time was the same kind of thing. Kelly Cahill and her husband or boyfriend at the time didn't know. They were going to a party, and they didn't realize how they had missed time, but they didn't have memory of it until hypnosis.
Crazy.
Regression, I believe.
I mean, yeah, this is definitely a connected node.
Oh, but the Cahill encounter did have multiple witnesses on the road at the time.
Right. I wonder if Richard is aware of this account, because it definitely connects, probably.
He's got to be. Actually, I think it might be in his book.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad you found it, Jared, because it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And terrifying, because it alludes to more likelihood of the reality of the sort of demonic aspect to some UFO encounters.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy stuff. Anyways, guys, we'll have that other episode linked in the show notes. But Chris, where are we headed next?
Ah, yes. Anyway, let's get back to the States for this next story, if you're ready.
Do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I can kind of relate to this next account. As we've talked about on the show before, there are some places that when you enter, you know right away that something's just off. Sensation of being watched, a sensation of being unwanted.
Yeah.
Especially houses. There's houses that almost feel like they've come to life a bit. In this next account, it's a great example of a house that when it thinks no one's home, talks about our experiencer. This can be a terrifying situation, also isolating. This comes to us from Michael, and this happened in Jonestown, Pennsylvania, in 1992. I call this, "Once I Lived in a Haunted House, but No One Believed Me."
In the fall of 1992, I moved in with my girlfriend in a house she had been renting with her brother. It was a situation where her brother moved out and she needed someone to help pay the rent, so it made sense for me to move in. From the first time I visited that house, I felt watched. After I moved in, I began hearing and seeing things. At the time, I worked 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and my girlfriend worked 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., so I was awake and up before her. I had a habit of making breakfast and then taking it into the living room to watch the early morning news. Every single morning, I could sense someone watching me from the doorway of the kitchen. It was like I could see someone from the corner of my eye, but when I turned my head, there was nothing there. From the corner of my eye, it looked like an old woman, maybe 60s or 70s, with a scowl on her face. I felt like she didn't like me eating in the living room. At night, I would be woken up exactly at 3 a.m. by what felt like someone with their face just inches from mine. I'd go from a deep sleep to wide awake in a second, open my eyes expecting someone to be right at my face, but there was always no one there. This happened every night I slept in that house. It ruined my sleep because my alarm was always set for 5 a.m., and I rarely was able to fall back asleep after being awoken. There was a small yard with a wooden shed at the far end and a half-dead tree about 6 feet from the door of the shed. That end of the yard always terrified me, for absolutely no reason. I was 27 at the time, but felt like a little kid scared of imaginary monsters. I would pull the lawnmower out of the shed as fast as possible and drag it to the other end of the yard to start it. And I'd mow the end where the shed was super fast. That area between the tree and the shed just terrified me for no reason. Fortunately, I only had to mow the grass for a few weeks in October and once in the spring. Because I returned home about 2 hours before my girlfriend, I would always come home to an empty house. One bright, sunny day in March, I returned home about 3:45 p.m. and heard voices in the house. As soon as I unlocked the door and pushed it open, I heard what sounded like three or four people having an argument. All talking at once. The voices stopped after 3 seconds. It was as if someone turned off a radio. Immediately, I thought someone was in the house. I went around to every room, downstairs, then upstairs. I looked outside to see if anyone was there. There was no one. This only happened once, but in a way, it shook me up the most. I told my girlfriend what was happening. She thought it was funny, just my imagination, because she never heard, saw, or felt anything. The only other people I told were my sister and a friend. No one believed it was real, so I haven't told anyone else. Until now.
Well, thank you for telling us. We believe you.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael.
I feel like I can relate to that feeling of avoiding a spot, like a feeling you're getting from a certain area. Even we had a place in Doylestown, and there was a part of the lawn I hated mowing near the...
yeah, down by the shed.
It was like a old shed as well, but it had a boat in it. But for some reason, I always would try to get away from that spot as fast as possible, put it up in higher gear, not look at the shed. I don't know why.
It felt weird.
But it's weird because it just reminded me of this story where he just... That specific example.
I thought we had a Frogger in there just living under our nose. That's typical too, seeing the shadow people, seeing the shadow figures out of the corner of the eye.
Especially being woken up at 3 a.m. every night. I mean, that's the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little warning sign that you're feeling unwelcome is not in your mind.
Yeah.
I mentioned that many times, and if anyone out there knows where this came from, I would love to find out because I can't find it, but there's some old study that was done by a scientist allegedly or some researcher for medical purposes where he blocks his frontal vision.
Yeah.
And then after so many days, he did it on himself, I think, for like a week or so. After so many days, he could not stop seeing these shadow figures moving in the peripheral. And so he had to stop the experiment because he was too freaked out.
Yeah.
But if anyone is familiar with that, I would love to dig more into that story. I just can't find where I first read that. But it does give some credence to how these things are kind of seen always in the corner of the eye.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Michael. We'll believe you.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be not believed. It's not a fun feeling.
Great haunted house account.
All right, speaking of houses, we're going to get into a really fascinating account here. Again, another one that just keeps rolling with your sort of symptoms of a typical haunt.
Mm-hmm.
This one's got a great little name, too.
The pop-open house.
Yes.
Comes with a nice variety of phenomena.
This comes to us from Alex, and this happened in not too far from here, East Liverpool, Ohio, in 1995. This is the pop-open house.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? My name is Alex. I'm going to tell you a quick story about my haunted house growing up in East Liverpool, Ohio, about 30 years ago. So, moving into a three-bedroom house, I'm in, you know, the blue-carpeted room, was default the boys' room, the smallest room. So, move into this house, and the doors would always pop open at night. Doors would pop open, the closet would pop open. You know, I'd make sure it was latched. It was a repeat offender. And so, you know, I was terrified. I'd sleep with the blankets wrapped up over my eyes. Eventually, my mom's like, I'm just going to start sleeping on the couch. Like, that was going to be her sleep space. If you want, you can have my room. I'm like, of course, because that's the bed I ran to. I was more comfortable, yada, yada, yada. So in my mom's room, she had this old, like, Western piano thing that she got from back in the day, like, long before I was born. But it never worked. It hadn't worked in 40, 50 years, whatever, before I was born. And she kept it for sentimental value. It was a gift. So I'm telling my dad what's going on. So he comes over and puts this, like, an H-bolt latch thing, like a slide bolt, like you would have on gates back in the day or an older wooden fence. My mom takes this big wooden picture down and hangs a crucifix. Crucifix kept falling off the wall. At one point, it like flew a good 3-4 feet, slapped into the wall, screamed, mom came up, all this jazz. Well, my mom rehung it and then took like this. I went to a Catholic school. She took this like little rope rosary that I had a bunch of them from like a fundraiser for like a quarter. Just little beads, little cheap rosaries. She hung it on the door. The night that she hung it on the door, the latch on the closet, it came open. The door came open in the middle of the night. And the music box started playing. And I'm screaming, she comes up, she hears the music box, so you know, wasn't just me. Yeah, I slept on the floor downstairs with her for a couple days, but eventually, like, you know, you can't sleep on a floor forever. A couple nights later, you know, I go back in the room. One morning I wake up, rosary, the string broke because it was just a little piece of string, beads everywhere, all this jazz. Quiet off and on, move out. Move back, as people do. I was about from like 18 to 20. I was on my own. Moved back in. My sister had moved out years before, and I was living in her room. You know, at this point, I had lived in all three rooms. So I'm sitting there one night, and I had a dog named Morgan. And she was little. She was still growing. So she literally couldn't get up the steps. You know, we just left her downstairs because she was still like pee-pad training and stuff. But anyway, the first time she can come up, she runs straight into that room between the two windows, paws and claws between the two windows, and rips a hole in the wallpaper. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? You're causing, you know, I'm going to have to explain things, right? So I pull out a piece of paper, like there's newspaper stuffed in there. And it was like from the 70s, 76, 77, something. I can't remember the exact date. And I'm going to have to guess, it's speculation, that that was the, you know, where the exit bullet went, right? Pretty heavy stuff. It all clicked pretty quick because the house was just, you know, the vibes were off. So one night I'm sitting there and I'm playing EverQuest and it's like 2001. And, you know, this was long before ghost shows were like popularized. So I hear what everyone knows now is like a guttural growling come roaring up the hall, like vibrated me. I thought it was my dog. I thought she was in distress. So I pop up out of my chair, run over, nothing in the hallway. I look down, there's my dog sleeping out cold, laying on the rug. I'll never forget that growl. And the good news is once I moved out permanently, which was about a year after all this, I've never had a problem since. So it was a location thing, not a person thing. That is my true story of my haunted youth. Hope you guys have a good one. Take care of yourselves.
Oh, man. Pretty terrifying.
I don't, I guess I missed the bullet part.
Yeah, that seemed almost like an innuendo, but it sounded like maybe, what I inferred from that was that at some point he found what was like a bullet hole.
That's what he thought it was?
Yeah. I think what he thought was his dog was tearing at the wallpaper. He had found something that was already a hole before his dog started because it had been stuffed with something, I think, to hide the fact that there was a hole there. It had been like stuffed up.
And it looked like a bullet.
Yeah.
The size of a bullet, I guess.
Yeah. So someone had been shot. I reached out to him to get more info on that because it would have been interesting if he had mentioned that earlier in the story.
Yeah, I wonder if the suggestion might be that that was the source or a symptom or some sort of attribute of...
Some tragedy occurred maybe in that basement where all that activity was happening.
Some trauma echo.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Or, you know, something that would lead to that darkness depending on how the person left this world if the bullet actually killed the person. It's super disturbing. Do you ever guys ever think that scientists in their laboratories will be able to bioengineer people with the addition of animal senses?
What?
I just always hear these stories and like, what would it be like to see what
the cat
or the dog is seeing or to sense like, oh, there's a demon there.
Like see different color frequencies, that kind of
thing.
Infrared.
Or just the senses that this extra, you know, sensory perception that animals have. It would just be interesting. I don't know if could ever get, would you get injected with a ESP animal update?
Yeah, I don't like needles, so.
May nada.
Sounds like a basement experiment for you, Jer, in your basement laboratory.
I'll do it.
Your silly tie.
I got nothing to lose. Just me and my tie.
Throwing out all the stops. Thank you for sharing that. Horrifying.
Got a hot date. That'd be funny if you wore that to a date.
That'd be funny.
And no pants.
It's a perfectly good outfit for a date. You got a tie.
Is that a short sleeve shirt?
What?
I wish it was.
I'm not a car salesman.
Oh, I thought it was.
No offense, car salesman.
He's got us rolled up.
That would be so much better if it was.
That'd look so much worse.
You'd look exactly like Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
That's true. I got my Casio watch on.
You just need those glasses, those 1960s glasses he had.
I got my Tito's. I'm not actually drinking that.
It's pronounced Tito's.
It's actually Tito.
Tito's.
Anywho.
Anyways, we got one more tale.
Let's do it.
That was dark, but thank you, Alex. Fascinating.
Yes. Thank you for that story.
Yeah.
The way he told the story. I just thought that was, you know, you could tell that it was, he was remembering it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so nonchalant, like.
Yeah.
It's got a good voice.
You know, the cross fell off, was thrown off the wall a few feet, all that jazz. Like, he's kind of told the story before, you know, but it seemed real to him.
I'm sure.
Yeah, good voice. Thanks, Alex.
I feel like, have we done a story from him before? His voice sounded very familiar.
He reminds me of Simon Von Elg a bit. He's got that kind of like gravelly.
Also, like Mitch, I think. Wasn't there a Mitch, like the skateboard guy?
That was Hansi Driscoll.
Hansi.
What's up, brothers of Belief Hole? This is Hansi Driscoll.
All right, this last story for tonight.
This is a great one.
This is a unique story, and I'm not sure what this is. And if you guys out there have any idea, feel free to share.
This takes place in Alabama, while our listener is at a bonfire. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yes, this comes from Julia.
Julia. This is called the Burn Pit Booger.
Why booger?
So booger, I was going to say the burn pit boogeyman, but booger is like a...
It really cheapens it.
Well, it's a southern, like, old term for boogeyman. It's a booger. But I know it does sound
it
a little
predates
silly.
The boogeyman. Like a Bogart in the UK.
A booger just sounds like some kind of twerpy little kid that's just like...
Yeah, you're a booger.
Yeah.
Ah, the boogeyman. We'll go the burn pit boogeyman.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments what you think it should be titled. Okay. Play it up.
Hi, guys. Great show. My name is Julia. I live in Alabama. I've had a lot of crazy experiences throughout my life, but one that really sticks out, I was probably 9 or 10, and me and my parents were at, I don't know, some of their friend's house. It was a white, older house, and I didn't know these people, so I was out in the yard, and they had a big garbage burn pile. And it was sitting up on, like, wooden pallets, so it was up off the ground a little bit. And I was just sitting there on my butt, poking at the fire, whatever, with a stick. And it wasn't burning, it was just a big ash pile. But then I noticed there was, like, something under it, like, underneath the pallets. And I leaned down and I looked. And it was the outline of what looked like a person. This was black, right? I couldn't really see. But it was the perfect outline of what looked like a person. And then suddenly it felt like I got punched in the gut. Like, intuition, like, you know? And I fell backwards. And then I started kicking back. Really scared me. And I jumped up and I ran behind their house. And I was standing behind their house by this big tree, and all of a sudden I see the shadow of what looks like a person on the house. And somehow I'm connecting it to what I just saw, and so I start rapidly walking around the back of the house, and it's following me. So I speed up my pace till I'm running, and it is behind me. I can see the shadow following me all the way down the side of the house. And I run up the doorsteps of the porch, and my mom catches me. And she's like, "What's the matter?" And I say, "Nothing. Nothing's the matter." And I never spoke of that. I never told my parents, never told anyone that, because I couldn't explain it in my own head. But that's one of many crazy things that have happened to me throughout my life. And that is maybe the craziest. Can't explain. But there are some other weird things that have happened, and I'll share those later. Keep up the good work. I love you guys. You're so good. Thanks.
Thanks, Julia.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julia.
Super creepy.
Freaky.
John, would you have any thoughts about this one? Because I have a couple thoughts. I'm just curious if you had any thoughts about what this was or what her experience was.
I'm not specifically what it is, but definitely pretty unique story.
Yeah.
The fact that it's like in the underneath a fire pit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It like follows her out.
The first time I heard the story, I couldn't help but think like body or like, is this
body?
What do you burn? What's like a bad thing you might burn in a pit, in a garbage pit, would be a body.
Don't you think you'd smell that?
Well, no, but maybe not that she saw a physical body, but was this like the origin point of this thing? Was something burned there? Was there a person that had been burned there at some time? For some reason, that's the first thing I thought of. Because she saw a human shape in there. Obviously, it wasn't an actual body in there, but she saw a human shape laying down in this burn pit. Or, you know, is it some, you know, ancient fire god? Deity,
I thought she
thing.
Saw it under the burn pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was underneath. Well, she was underneath the pallets that were burning.
Oh, like in the coals, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I gathered from it. But
did you gather it?
I gathered it up with my thought brain. I collected
it. Unpack it, please.
I will unpack this for you.
Can you unpack that for me after you gathered it?
Can you make some space for it in our conversation?
I'll make some space to speak about it.
Why don't you circle back after you've done that?
Yeah, you can speak on that once you've made space. We can circle back.
So this has been top of mind for a while for me.
Circle back, unpack it, gather it up.
Top of mind.
We just do an episode on annoying jargon. Speaking of annoying jargon, what's not annoying jargon is bloody bones. You guys heard of bloody bones?
No, it sounds like a urban legend or something.
I guess it's like a
creepypasta.
In the southern United States, maybe the British Isles, but one description that I read was
a mythological character.
Yeah. One description I read was something about taking the form of, flayed skull or a blood-covered hog.
Wait, are we all looking this up? I got to look this up. Bloody bones?
Yeah.
I'm seeing some weird, creepy pictures.
Oh, I thought it said blood-covered log head, which made sense with fire, but hog head is more disturbing. I guess it's like, Southern United States boogeyman.
I'm seeing bloody bones as a figure from English and Northern American folklore uses boogeyman to frighten children. Rawhead, Tommy Rawhead.
Yeah, that's how Southern United States.
Oh, wow. I thought this was like a modern sort of creepypasta thing because it kind of sounds like the sort of stuff you'd hear online, but this appearance is approximately... originated in 1548.
Yeah. Often depicted as sinewy, skinless creature, showing exposed muscle and bone, may dwell in cupboards, under stairs, or dark water wells. Terrifying.
How have we not heard of Rawhead?
He is a tool used to control children's behavior by inspiring fear.
That's what they always say that.
That's what they say.
Well, even if that's true, maybe because he was created that way.
Oh, like a tulpa.
Oh.
Yeah.
We've made the boogeyman real.
It's the same people who say it's top of mind that also explain everything away with, it's just to teach children lessons from time to time.
It's a human archetype.
Well, maybe that is possible how it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know how I used to tell you about the spiders in the trees?
No,
now the spiders are real.
Spiders in the trees?
Scorpions are now real at Camp Luther because of that. They've had many infestations.
Three fatalities a year at Camp Luther from tree scorpions.
Where were we walking the other day, Chris? We were walking somewhere the other day and we were approaching these big trees and I said, just think of John's tree scorpions as we go under here.
Yes. And then I ran like a little girl.
That was easy for you.
Hey, just because I wear this shirt doesn't mean I'm a sissy.
John didn't want us following him at night.
Just because I wear this hospital smock doesn't make me a wussy.
I almost changed during the break because I felt so.
Too powerful?
Exposed.
Yes.
Too strong and powerful.
Exposed for all of my cartoonish power. The shirt represents.
I like it. It's fun.
Anyway, this episode was fun. Thank you guys for joining us on this journey.
Yeah.
Into the weird.
I hope you guys dug it.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And thank you for all the listeners who felt like they could share their stories with us. Of course, we have hundreds more in the archive that we will be sifting through for the next forever. Feel free to submit yours. This one was cool because we had a lot of speak pipes. We love written stories too, but speak pipes do have a little bit of a special power. To get to hear someone's voice.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we had a lot of good ones.
Yeah. It was fun to hear a lot of speak pipes today.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And don't fret, if you haven't heard your story, it doesn't mean you will never hear it. We often go back further into the archive and find older tales.
Yeah.
There's just a lot to go through. So
it'd be nice to find a way to publish them eventually.
Yes.
Blast them out.
We will get to that eventually.
Yeah.
As long as you keep sending them in, we'll keep doing listener stories.
That's right. Speaking of you awesome listeners, a lot of you are extra special. Extra special.
Extra special. Extra special.
I feel like I'm wearing that hospital
smock. Extra special?
are extra special, and we'd like to thank you.
Oh, yeah, we would.
All of you members that go above and beyond and sign up to get your name read on the show. It's happening now.
Yes!
And if you don't hear your name today, stick around. You will eventually.
All right, I've got the next one, Jer.
All right, you do it. Bring it up.
Welcome in Anilsa Ethereal Hernandez.
Annalisa, you meant to say.
That's what I meant.
Ethereal Hernandez. Thank you.
Yes.
Annalisa Ethereal Hernandez.
Beautiful.
That is a beautiful long name.
Yes. You are indeed ethereal and ethereal. It's a conundrum, but you fit right in the paradox of the expansion.
Yes. I sense some kind of beautiful magic with you. Not only because you are someone with an incredible name, but because you are another freaking shadow person of interest.
Holy moly.
That's right. I'm not joking. Thank you for the extra special. Freaking support.
Oh, yes.
All right, next up, keep your eyes to the sky as we see perch among us the glorious Jared Spotted Hawk.
Cue bird sound.
Yes. That is a heroic name, if I've ever heard one.
That really is.
Welcome in, Jared.
Welcome, traveler.
That sounds almost tribal. Spotted Hawk. That's a badass freaking name. Welcome, Jared.
Welcome in.
Thank you for bringing Dogman Whisperer. You rock.
All right, next up, we're diving deep in the mine for a little gold.
You can pour it in my stein with my beer, because it's Kelly Goldstein.
All right. She gets all the treasure in the hole.
She does.
Welcome in, Kelly. We appreciate you.
Thank you for filling our steins with love and support. Next up, get your children out of the woods, because they might get stuck in a briar. It's Briar.
Jeez.
Hatch. That's just Briar.
Welcome in, Briar.
Another Dogman Whisperer.
Prickly man.
Or lady.
Or lady.
I don't even know what that name is. Is it a...
I want to go with Gaelic.
I was going to go with...
Quit making that sound.
Sorry. It's something in my tooth. I was going to go with Palladian.
Wow! Sure.
Just as it's a fun one-off name. Briar.
Welcome in, Briar. We appreciate you.
Anyways, unless you mistype Brian, that's always a possibility. But we appreciate you, and you are awesome.
And R, lowercase r, is half lowercase n.
That's, I guess, accurate.
All right, next up, we've got another person with two first names.
Always the best.
Welcome in.
Chris Jeffrey.
Yay! Yes, feels good. Feels good to have you.
Feels good to have two first names, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a little jelly.
Thank you so much.
But this next guy has my first name, so he automatically wins the game of who is the coolest supporter tonight. Jeremy Bacchus.
Can't rhyme with Bacchus, so I'm not going to say anything else.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you can't? How about keep your caucus off my friend Jeremy Bacchus?
Oh, caucus.
Is couch.
That means buttocks, right? Or
that's Cossacks.
Cossacks, yes.
Bacchus.
Well, anyways, doesn't matter. We just appreciate that you're here.
Don't make a ruckus.
Okay.
When you're hanging out at Jerry Bacchus's house.
His mother will get angry.
He likes his sleep, I've heard.
All right.
He is a sleepy penguin. Okay. Lori, a walker. What is up?
Nice.
Lori. I said Laura, but I meant Lori.
Yes.
Cousin of Luke.
Well, that took
a while. Luke-Sky. Oh, my God. You know what?
I apologize. Oh, yeah. It's like 4 in the morning.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we don't love you as much as we should when it's daytime. Lori, a walker. You have a killer name. I wish my last name was Walker.
All right. What's next?
Just so solid. Parfit is just such a... Like, what is that? Is it a parfait? Can you pronounce it?
It means perfect, Jeremy.
I know, but...
All right, next up we have Lorenzo Ortega.
All right.
Welcome in.
Hello. Lorenzo, hero of the whole.
A man of many, many, many legends. Thank you for joining us.
Your name spans the countryside, and now our brains, because we've said it, and we'll think about you forever.
Our next up...
As a supporter.
Okay. Let's go forever.
Next up, let's start that fire. We don't have any Flint, but you know who we do have? We got a little bit of Clint.
Oh, man. Yeah, we do.
Clint is in the hole.
Rub him down and start the sparks.
Nope.
That came out wrong.
We don't need to do any rubbing, Chris.
I was following the Flint reference.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I got it.
Yes.
Clint.
You better get it.
Clint, you're going to have a long stint in the hole. If it were up to me, it'd be forever.
Aw.
You sweet, sweet Dogman Whisperer, you. Thank you to be here.
Yay! Yay!
Getting that Dogman status. Jeremy Dooley, what's up, brother?
Ooh, Dooley.
What a great name. Jeremy.
Dooley! What? It's always sunny.
It's always sunny? Oh,
nice. Dooley! Who's calling Dooley? Dooley! Dooley! Oh, Dooley's dead. Oh, Dooley!
Not this Dooley. Not this Dooley. This Jeremy Dooley is very much
alive.
It's
always sunny. It's Great show.
Great show.
Good show.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Welcome in, Jeremy.
Nick Lamb will not be our sacrificial animal today.
No.
We will instead put him up on a platter.
Be our golden bowl.
Nick Lamb is happy as a clam, being in the hole.
That's right.
With the other troll.
That's right.
Thank you, Dogman Whisperer. You get a ruff, you get a bark, you get a groan. Skylar, another Dogman Whisperer. Skylar Sands.
All right.
Skylar Sands.
Skylar. Love that name.
Thank you for clawing at the hole.
Is Tristan your friend?
Tristan.
I just think of like Skylar and Tristan and...
Is that kind of group of names sort of thing?
I'm joking. There was like a, like, you know what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about. Like Skylar and Tristan and, you know, Adventure.
Adventure.
Sailor.
Sailor.
Like Abercrombie Fitch models.
Preston.
Skylar probably is a model.
I hope you are.
Because she is generous in heart.
Skylar... I can't think of a rhyming for that.
That's a hard one. Skylar Tyler. That's just another name.
That's just another name.
Welcome
well,
in,
thank
Skylar.
You, Skylar.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being a Dogman Whisperer.
Yeah.
You rock.
Someday over the rainbow.
It's unbelievable. Way up high.
There's another rainbow. Do you remember that?
There's another rainbow. What was that from?
Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
Tobias.
Tobias Fumke.
Somewhere over the rainbow, there's another rainbow.
That's right. All right, guys. Keep digging the hole.
So Jeremy's going spelunking after this.
Yeah. I'm digging deep. Anybody who has an epileptic, please look away from the screen. Jeremy's about to murder you.
Well, you have an epileptic. Epileptic.
Epileptic.
Anyway.
You're not a member. If you want to dig deeper in the hole, if you want to go spelunking in the hole like this, join up to be a member. Sign up. Believehole.com.
Yeah, we'll see you in the expansion for another members-only episode. Join us. We'll see you there.
I'm being abducted.
And see you next time.
Love you guys. Take care.
Bye.
Toodles. Bye. Toodle doodles. Toodle doodles. Jeremy's going spelunking after this. Jeremy's going spelunking after this. You look exactly like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. In Falling Down. In Falling Down. You look exactly like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. In Falling Down. In Falling Down. Toodle doodles. Toodle doodles.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.